Greetings, Only Tans. Today is Friday, November 10th, and yesterday we had Jacob Eisenberg from Dapper Labs from NBA Top Shot on the stream. It was the first time that Jacob was on the stream being interviewed, and we asked all the questions that we wanted to about this upcoming series 23-24 on NBA Top Shot, and there were a lot of questions from the chat that got answered, a lot of questions about just what's going on this series and what to look forward to and what's going to be different. And the changes and the focus on the marketplace and on the health of the economy, and just a load of other questions. So it's a chock full interview. It goes about an hour. We definitely slipped in the handshake video because Jacob's in it, and it just makes us laugh. And he was a good sport. We also talked a little bit about the NBA and his New York Knicks. I mean, he's a bit of a savant in that regard. And he also talked about his experience when NBA Top Shot went viral and what that was like for him, just being in the midst of all of that. It was very interesting for me. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the show. Recall that nothing you hear should be considered financial advice, and let's jump right into it. One more thing before we start the show. In the first few minutes, Jacob's microphone is acting up, so he sounds like a robot. He's got echo on his voice. That gets resolved. So just letting you know. All right. Enjoy the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome. It's a very special day. We have Jacob Eisenberg of Dapper Labs, NBA Top Shot, on the show. And this is a very special day. I mean, Jacob was on the stream when we did Pack Drips event. I think that was like, I don't know, a long time ago, 2 years ago. I don't know. He was on the stream for a little bit. But this is the first time Jacob is here getting interviewed on Tandy Time, a.k.a. the Tandy Wagon. He coined that. And we have a bunch of you in the chat. I know you're excited for the alpha, for the takes, for the spiciness. Anyway, let's bring Jacob in. We'll give him a little good old community.
We love the community.
There he is.
It's on, Tandy. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you for being here. Well, Jacob, where do we start? There's so much that we could talk about. Why don't we just start with the most recent? Tell me about this rookie drop. How did it go in your estimation? Just tell me your general impressions of the rookie drop and how that went.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I think it was a lot of fun, right? Celebrating Victor Wembanyama's Top Shot debut alongside father of the elite rookies. I think this arguably the best rookie class we've seen in at least a decade. So it was awesome to kind of be able to celebrate them. Obviously, a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement. Seeing over 24,000 orders for those 6,000 packs with the pre-order was awesome to see. And then, of course, instant sellouts, both web and mobile with significant demand. So yeah, I mean, rookie season, early NBA season, and then we have a lot more coming on Top Shot soon.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was great to see the demand. It was great to see all the rips on Twitter. It seemed like everyone ripped Victor Wembanyama, so that was impressive. I don't know, why does it always seem that way? Like, why does Twitter always show you, why does it always induce the FOMO? Do you have any idea how that works?
I'm not an expert on the algorithm, but my guess is it has a lot to do with what you've previously engaged with. So if you've been to people share great polls, they will show you that. If you've engaged with people sharing negative sentiments, it will kind of surface that, right? All of these platforms are really, really in the balls game and the engagement game, and the more that they can do to serve you what you've seemingly liked in the past, the more likely that you're going to keep coming back.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, chat. So Jacob, I'm trying to chat with you, even though I'm hearing like you kind of on echo, but I don't know if that's you or if that's me. So chat.
I hear the echo as well. Well, I turn off my I've got a Yeti going. I could turn that off. Speaking right into the regular MacBook.
I think it's better now.
I think it's better now. Okay, great. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Sure. So yeah, the product, I think, again, it looks great. I think I like the new layout. I like the way the moments are now laid out. I like how it shows you the final score on the back. It just looks really clean. Looks really nice. So now this year we're going with 23, 24. Obviously that's a departure from what we were seeing on the platform in the past. How does that factor in when you think about, like, I guess just continuity, for continuity's sake? Like, is there any thought of maybe going in reverse and like adjusting what previous series are called, or what are you thinking about around that?
Yeah, no intentions to retroactively change anything from previous series. But this was kind of an important for continuity going forward. Of course, when you think of series 4, there was anything but continuity, right? It entailed more than one NBA season. It was two WNBA seasons, two off seasons. And we kind of made decisions in very early, or I guess midway through series 4 last summer, of I kind of think we have to stick with it so that we can start next series with the NBA count rather than arbitrarily during the off season.
Yeah. Okay. I'm still getting a little bit of weird feedback. Chat, let me know if you're getting it as well, or if it's just me, because if it's just me, I'll just refresh and come back in. Yeah. So it looks like, I don't know. Jacob, do you want to try maybe refreshing? I'll play like a technical difficulties video and bring you back in. You want to rejoin on like a new browser or something?
Sure.
All right, here we go. All right, we'll wait for Jacob to come back. I wasn't sure if that was on my end or his end or your end or what, because people are chatting in the chat as if nothing really is going on. A few people have said that it's like a Westworld Jacob or an AI Jacob. We will wait for Jacob to come back, though, and we'll continue. So remember, get your questions in the chat. Let Jacob know your questions. Keep it respectful, of course. And we will try to find out as much as we can about all your curiosities. Matt says he's not coming back. I'm definitely going to show the fist bump stand. Don't worry about that. We're going to use that as like an intermission. And thank you. We got some stickers. We'll call those out. We'll call out one of them at least, which is from Boston Base. So thank you, Boston Base. Only Tan, very respectfully. Thank you. Ice cream so good. Yum, yum. Yes, yes. Thank you, Boston Base. All right. So Jacob's back. Let's see if this is working any better.
Testing. How's this working? Any better?
It's still not very good.
Still not good. Okay, let me one second.
Maybe join from your phone. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned. And I think how is this? Any better?
Yes, this is now better.
Great. Yeah, the Yeti might be giving me some issues.
Okay. All right. Well, we got Boston Base. We also got Jump Shoot, Ice Cream So Good. Jacob, would you like to do the Ice Cream So Good honors?
All you, man.
All right. Yes, yes, yum, yum. Thank you, Jump Shoot. Ice Cream So Good. All right. Okay, back to the chat. Here we go. All right, let's see. We got a list of questions here. What else, Jacob? It's a big series. Like 23-24, this is a big series, big rookies, big adjustments to the platform in terms of the rookies. We're going to have more burning, more leaderboard activity, that kind of thing. For some people who maybe feel like it's a lot to keep up with, like how would you catch people up if they haven't really been keeping track of all the blogs and they want to know, like, how is this series different or what do they need to keep in mind for 23-24?
Yeah, I think the high level is every week on Top Shot, there will be kind of a natural cadence. And starting on Thursdays and Fridays with the announcement of what's coming the following week. And you kind of saw that last week, right? The announcement on Thursday, pre-orders open, the drop happening Tuesday. You're going to see a similar cadence this week, next week, and continuing throughout. And as we have already started to establish every week there's an opportunity to get rewards. So last week, of course, five collectors on the Spurs leaderboard, the Thunder leaderboard, Hawks, Pistons, Hornets, Blazers, they all got the chance through a weighted airdrop of receiving a rookie debut from one of those headliners. Same will continue every week in terms of weighted airdrops to both the team and soon the player leaderboards when we're not talking about rookies. And there are going to be, you know, obviously established players where those fans have been collecting them for multiple series at this point. And then from there, in addition, there are going to be burn leaderboards and opportunities for collectors to burn existing rare legendary supply to get the new rares and legendaries as they're coming out. So every week there will be a new opportunity for both excitement of receiving new content, but also making utility out of your existing collections.
Got it. So leaning into the burning and the leaderboard utility. Because I know also like previously when those were set up, I think there was some time when maybe the individual player leaderboards were not really being used. People are like, well, why are we doing this? So it sounds like this series, we are kind of addressing that with more clarity than we did previously.
Yeah, absolutely. Every week there will be new opportunities again for rewards, new opportunities, new reasons to keep your moments locked, new reasons to lock your moments. And what's been really cool is through these weighted leaderboards, we've seen not only, you know, the top collectors, but also collectors in the thousands winning the luck of that weighted airdrop. So the rationale of Top Shot score on a weighted airdrop basis, of course, means that if Top Shot score is working as intended, the best top collectors are going to win more times than not, but everyone will have a chance as long as they're locking.
Yeah, I think everyone really likes that. You know, we're sick and tired of seeing Alexo in those photos. No, I'm just kidding. And what else? I mean, I know recently we're hearing about the new utility for your moments. So some people have shared some information about this game that you guys are building. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Or what can you tell us and what can't you tell us about this game that you guys are building?
Yeah, so play tests are officially underway. We've rolled it out to about 50 collectors so far. That will continuously and gradually increase. But it's a really exciting new fun way to engage, follow the NBA season with a game mode on Top Shot that kind of takes the elements of, you know, previous game modes on Top Shot, such as Flash Challenges, but really heightens it, makes it more fun, and creates more game theory, more gamification along the way, all while still kind of taking the core principles of maybe previous issues with Flash Challenges, where there were wacky distortions in the market as a result of, say, Duncan Robinson scoring the final field goal for Miami. And this game is going to kind of really concentrate around top performers on a night-in, night-out basis and giving collectors the opportunity to really use moments from star players more often.
Interesting. And in terms of like when people play these games, is it going to be like, is the reward structure going to be similar to what we've seen already for Flash Challenges, or are you still trying to figure like what that might look like, or what do you think, like how is this going to be similar and different from Flash Challenges, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it will. I think it's one of those where you'll have to wait and see, but there are a bunch of different ways in that it's different, including the duration of some of these contests will not be single night events, but rather over the duration of several days, if not several weeks. So lots of different iterations being tested. And that's partially why we are doing these play tests. We are kind of stress testing the system itself, but also building with the intention of trying a few different iterations, getting feedback, collecting feedback, and then again, updating the plans based on that feedback.
Okay. So Ryan has a good question here, which is, will the game have tiers? So will you be able to play as a minnow or as a whale versus Alexo?
Yes. No further comments there, but yes, there will be perks for having higher tier moments. And then over time, I don't think this will be the first rollout, but over time, I'd anticipate that there will be different types of lobbies and contests based on only being able to use a certain tier of moment.
Got it. Cool. Well, I think a lot of us are excited for that. I think, you know, a reason to get onto the platform every day besides just participating in the marketplace is definitely key. Something else actually that just came off the top of my head when I talk about coming back to the marketplace, has there been any thought about having like a more of a social aspect on the platform? So like we're coming onto the platform, let's say daily, to put our players into this game. What about the idea of sort of connecting and collecting, you know, connecting with the other people on the platform? And instead of using third party, instead of using Discord, instead of using Twitter, has there been any thought there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially with the launch of the app, it just totally changes the game in terms of the ability to socialize the Top Shot experience further. I would say right now, top priorities are kind of continuing to fortify our systems to better accommodate kind of all of the different game theories and high-end speculative ways to play Top Shot, including burn leaderboards. And then secondarily, really bolstering the very early kind of entry points into Top Shot with what is that first time new collector experience looking like? What is the offering they're going to get? What is the on-rails experience we can provide where after they buy their first pack, they're not kind of now suddenly in the Wild West trying to fend for themselves in the marketplace, but rather real clear goals, real clear kind of reasons to collect and continue to build your collection. And that all kind of ties back to what's really fun and unique to this season on Top Shot is all of those different game modes and concentric circles around how to collect are actually finally concentric in the sense that the leaderboards tie into the weekly drops and the burning ties into the weekly drops and the trade ticket opportunities tie into the weekly drops. And it's not all these different disparate kind of categories of things to do all operating in silo from each other.
Yeah. Something I saw also around new users, or I think around new users, was these team packs. Can you share anything about these team packs?
Yeah. I mean, I think the natural conclusion of most first-time collectors, say, Tandy, you're a Celtics fan, and let's say historically you've come to Top Shot and the first pack you bought was either, say, a base set pack or a hot pack as recently as last season. And in your pack, maybe you get Bol Bol and OG Anunoby and Cody Martin. And you as a Celtics fan, it doesn't resonate with you. You know, you might recognize all three of those players. You might only recognize one or two of those players, but it's very unclear to you of like, why should I continue, right? So the idea is how can we kind of give collectors that are self-identifying as fans of a specific team early in their journey on Top Shot, how can we make sure that their first purchases are really super tailored to their fandom? And that's kind of where the team pack conception is coming from. And it's for new users very early in the process. This will roll out very soon. But it's for new users primarily because we're actually going to be using previous season's content for most of these early season team packs until we have a wider library of moments from this season to use. So if you think about the Milwaukee Bucks, for example, if you're a Bucks fan and you're new coming to Top Shot, Giannis has obviously been on the Bucks since series one. So we can use kind of leftover supply from previous series to put into those team packs. And in the process of doing that and kind of culling our inventory, we've also burned a lot of moments from players that are no longer on those teams. So really using kind of whatever leftover supply we have to kind of make that first iteration of packs. But over time, these will roll out to the entire community. And the reasons to buy will be very clear in the sense that there will be moments that are exclusive to team packs that only you can receive by buying those team packs in the form of specific sets, potentially some explosions, and the chance of a rare.
Got it. What did you think about this? Sort of nothing to do with Top Shot, but I think this is kind of funny. What do you think about this take? This is like some previous NBA players were saying that Bol Bol was just a darker skinned Wemby. What do you think of this? Is this the craziest take in the world, or do you think there's some validity to it?
I think it's a little disrespectful to Wemby and probably a little disrespectful to Bol Bol as well. They're very different players. I think offensively they might share more in common than, you know, the Bol Bol hater might recognize. Defensively, I think is where the big difference is. Wemby has incredible instincts for a 19-year-old. is always seemingly in the right position, seems to communicate super well, and probably has slightly better, if not much better, lateral quickness. Whereas Bulbul hasn't shown much interest on that end to being a defensive force, even though at 7'3", 7'4", he certainly theoretically could be a great defender.
Yeah, it's a very good political answer there. And yeah, it is kind of crazy when you think that Wemby's only 19. That is kind of mind-blowing, isn't it? Yeah, it really is. So one thing that I know that some people were complaining a little bit about the rookie drop was that they reserved, didn't get anything, and some people reserved and got a bunch. Is there anything that's like in the works so that it's something that's a little more, what's the word, like democratic, or where people
egalitarian can, maybe?
That's a good word. There you go. Where like you want 30 and I want 2. You'll get your pack, I'll get my pack, you'll get your second, I'll get my second, and you can get a bunch more. Is there anything in the works for something like that to happen in the future?
Yeah. So obviously we saw this feedback very consistently in the last week. And I think it's important to clarify that the from a product standpoint today, we are not technically capable of doing that egalitarian distribution. That's not how the pre-order system was designed. With that being said, we are actively looking into how can we build this for future drops down the road. Now, I would caution and say that everyone gets one before someone gets two is probably not the right way to think about it, from the standpoint of that totally harms those with very big collections and high top shot score. There should be a perk and an advantage to a high top shot score, and that doesn't necessarily convey if everyone's getting one before I can get two. With that being said, certainly there could be a world where there is an upper limit of the number I, as someone with a high top shot score, can have compared to someone with no top shot score or a very low top shot score.
Gotcha. I wonder if it's almost like different SKUs, so to speak, where you could buy like multiples, like you buy one or you buy five, or I don't know. That's for your developers to figure out. I know this is another thing that people have been discussing, collection organization. I know that there has been some progress there, and I think Rohan might have hinted that that's also something that's being worked on. Can you tell us anything about collection organization? I mean, Mike Levy wants a virtual room. He wants a virtual cigar room. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, I think just to back up for a quick second, one fine point on the pre-order system. In this most recent drop, I believe the number was 77% of collectors that pre-ordered did not get the number of packs that they asked for. So there, it is working to the degree that it is more egalitarian than it's only favoring, the top of the top whales. With that being said, again, we are going to continue to investigate ways to make it more kind of egalitarian across the board in ways that are still kind of incentivizing people to continue to build their top shot scores for those distinct advantages. The collection organizing conversation, something super high up on our list. I think it goes back to kind of how do we make top shot more social? Well, one very important part of making top shot more social is taking pride in how you show off your collection. So obviously the community that is watching this stream has probably seen or has participated in pinning moments to their collection. And that was something that when launched, I believe we saw 33% of collectors that were active that month pinned within 24 hours. So it didn't have full penetration, but certainly there's an appetite for that and more opportunities for us to investigate how can we make showing off your collection, displaying your collection more powerful. I think that also kind of starts in the frame of mind of how do you make it more shareable, right? Not just from a standpoint of when I go to my collection, how can I like create new folders and bucket my collection that way? But what's going to really incentivize you as a collector to want to take your collection to X or to Instagram or TikTok, wherever it may be, to show it off to friends? Because that's how you're going to get, I think, a little bit of that further word of mouth opportunity. But I think it is, frankly, a little bit secondary to the way we're going to get word of mouth, and I'd be surprised if anyone in chat strongly disagreed here. The way we're going to get word of mouth is building the best collectible product, and that starts with the economy first and foremost. It has to make sense. It has to be something that everyone's going to want to come for and not feel bad about showing up for. And I think that's a little bit of a departure from the past in terms of just how the economy design worked. But that is our top priority this season. And that once that economy trust is built, then we can kind of delve into the shareable social features. And I do think that will kind of have a nice kind of momentum compounding effect of not only am I excited about Top Shot again, because I trust that what they're building makes sense as a collector, but secondarily, now I feel pride to show it off rather than fear that I'm going to get laughed at by everyone on Twitter because Top Shot was so 2021.
When you talk about the strength or like rebuilding the economy, how much of that, so for example, I know in the past there was some lack of clarity around like how many moments every player would get, or I mean, even when the blog would describe it, it still felt a little bit unclear. This year, it seems very clear around rookies. Can you remind us though, around like, let's say star players, like, is it predictable? Has that been written? Did I miss that in a blog about like, you know, how many rares, how many legendaries will like say Giannis have this season?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, from the legendary standpoint, there are going to be two or three legendary sets this season, working on that third. And that's something we're pretty excited about. But between the flagship legendary, be it Top Shot 50 or Holo Icon in the past, and the finals, obviously only two teams can be represented in that finals legendary set. From the rare tier, we conscientiously moved Fresh Threads out of the rare tier into the common tier. Obviously, many in the community will remember Donovan Mitchell gate last season, where he received a fresh thread and a throwdown within a few weeks of each other. And that was obviously frustrating to many, and understandably so. So I think you're going to see a lot more clarity as far as the mint counts go, that many of those were shared in that initial blog around collectability and why Top Shot is the best sports collectible in the world. Mint counts for the rare tier capped out at 699, and the legendary tier capped out at 89. And again, remember, the utility is going to be a huge kind of turning point this season compared to in the past, where every time we do have a Giannis rare in a pack drop, you have the opportunity to kind of call your shot and reserve that Giannis rare by burning old series Giannis rares. And so what we're anticipating through that is a lot more demand for what's already existing in the community or in the ecosystem, and a great opportunity for collectors that are the biggest fans to not only potentially receive those moments through those burn leaderboards, but of course, through the weighted airdrops.
Right. Yeah, that is exciting. And I like the idea too, that when new supply is coming out, you burn old supply to get it. I think that that keeps things a little more balanced. Some people in the chat are asking about the one of ones. Can you tell us anything about the one of ones?
Yeah, so it will be up to 10 rookies receiving one of ones. Those one of ones will come from the player's first game as a highlight reel. It will get the rookie premier, kind of the three-star rookie badge. It will not have the Top Shot debut badge. But they are incredibly awesome from kind of the looks of them. The design team really went all out to make these clear in a way. Such incredible one of one. And I think, we made the very disciplined decision in my eyes to really focus only on rookies and not on existing players for the season. For the reason being, we wanted to create a world where these aren't kind of rocking any boat of anyone's existing collection, right? It was pre-announced before any of these Wemby rookie debuts were rolled out, so it's not kind of a surprise to anyone that these will be coming, and how they'll be distributed through the season, that is kind of to be shared soon. I don't want to leak any alpha on that front, but it will not be, I think the community will be pretty excited about a handful of the ways that these will be distributed.
Okay. All right, so the one of ones rookies, do you ever think about how physical cards, I know I had someone on the show a couple of weeks ago who collects physical cards, and I asked him how many Wemby rookie cards will there be? And I think the answer was like in the millions. Do you ever think about the fact that the physical collectors just kind of take that with a grain of salt, where the digital Top Shot collectors very much do not. Why do you think that's the case?
Look, I think it's a blessing and a curse that there is such radical transparency on the blockchain, right? It's kind of like that out of sight, out of mind situation for card collectors where they're not getting constant reminders of how much supply there is on a specific card or a specific player year over year. Whereas on Top Shot, that is very front and center. And that is both a blessing of Top Shot, I think long-term as a collectible, but also in the short term, until we're able to grow, it rightfully does kind of conjure up some frustration from the community because, you know, we've all seen the hashtag oversupply or conversations about supply. But yeah, I think like, I did see some of the replies to your tweet about what questions you had for me. And I saw Poker Pro Eric ask, why wouldn't we lower the mint count of the rookie debut when we were able to lower mint counts elsewhere? And I think the high level of it is 4,000 Wembies in total at the most common level as a rookie is extreme scarcity for a collectible compared to the other Wemby collectibles out there. And not to mention, because there is the built-in utility with the burn leaderboards to get the freshman gems and the locking leaderboards to get end of season rewards from these top rookies, that 4,000 number is the starting point. But what stays up will not stay up forever. It will go down. So I don't look at it as 4,000 as the true number. I would venture to guess by the end of the season, there will actually be fewer than 4,000 in total. But yeah, that's the TLDR of it is, I think long term, it will prove out to be a massive, massive benefit for Top Shot. And in the short term, it is an added point of maybe responsibility for us to be cognizant of when we are deciding new content plans.
Got it. Here's one. What do you think about this in-season tournament? And will there be anything interesting on Top Shot for this in-season tournament with these super ugly courts?
Remains to be seen. I will say some of the courts are pretty fun. Some are very ugly, I would agree with. But yeah, I think based on one day of it, it's been successful so far. We are being kind of cautiously optimistic about what the next few weeks of the tournament will bring. But we are certainly open to it and looking at different ways to make them special.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see what else we got. There was news. I was actually on a stream yesterday with Luke El Dumbo and Jen Sudo on Evaluate. And Luke mentioned something about flow on the blockchain, that there's this new thing they're doing where it's like blockchain randomization, where it's completely tied into the blockchain. So I know that some people are curious about that. Luke seemed to say that integrating that into a platform takes a really long time. But I was wondering if you had any extra information on something like that.
Yeah. No, Luke's more blockchain technically savvy than I am. So I would take his word for it. But obviously, it's a massive opportunity for Flow, and the fact that it's built and ready to go, that's awesome. And we will certainly look into ways to bring it into products long term.
Yeah. It sounds like the police are after you, Jacob.
Man, I live, it's very hit or miss, but generally speaking, the sirens this time of day do come out, right? A lot of rush hour traffic here in New York.
Got it. All right, well, we'll do a little intermission. I want to get your take on this intermission video. Here we go.
So, I appreciate it. Yeah, man. Man, that was an awkward fist bump.
What's your feedback on that video, Jacob? Take us through it.
I've seen the judge's take and his offense to me kind of reproaching as he got close. He was getting close to the neck there. I just had to keep some distance. But no, it was neither of our finest hours, that's for sure. But it was a lot of fun that night. We had a great time. Everyone that came out to Vegas and was in the judge's penthouse that night knows that it was one of the more fun times.
Yeah, we love that video. No hard feelings, but we love that video. And it sort of looks like the judge is trying to give you a European kiss or something. And that's why we really enjoy it.
That's kind of what I
I felt that coming, so I don't know. Nothing wrong with it, but yeah, I wasn't sure where he was going, so yeah, that was maybe my subconscious reproach right there.
Well, I think you handled it pretty well. You called it out as it was happening, and it was, you know, no one would have known about it unless Judge then went to the camera and said, nobody clip that. And then I was like, all right, I guess this is my time. I'm supposed to do this. I have a calling here. But anyway, thanks for that.
For the record, I had no intentions of joining the stream that night. He was just streaming in the penthouse and asked if I could join, and I was happy to. It was a fun opportunity, but now we have that moment for the rest of our lives.
I know. I love it. That's definitely a good one. You actually have a few good ones. I didn't clip the other one of when it was Pack Drip's event and Dream Shaker threw his whole team under the bus and like you were calling it out. That was really good too.
Yeah. He was like a hybrid between Christian Wood and Andre Blatch there. Just like went straight to the cameras and they're not passing me the ball. He was pissed.
I loved it.
Yeah, that was a good one too.
Yeah, I really liked it. All right, let me catch up here. I think there was something here that someone was asking. Oh, and Cam wants to see it again. People definitely like it. Let's see, there's something here. I think so. Toons is asking. This is Toons must be tuning in late. Yeah, that's the gamification on the platform. Toons, it's like a new fast break game. Use your moments over the week. You'll learn more soon. Okay, let's see what else we got. What about I guess we can just do some NBA takes for a second while we wait for the chat to come up with any other questions that they have for you. But what are your hot takes so far in this NBA season? What has surprised you? What do you think of your Knicks?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest surprise is that the Nuggets aren't like the unanimous favorites. I just don't really understand it. They are so far and away the best team in the league in my eyes. I would say the Celtics are, for the first time since the Big Three KG era, this is the first time that I've ever fully bought in on the Celtics bandwagon. Like, I've always been a little skeptical in recent years. This year, I think they are also far and away the best team in the East. But yeah, I think the biggest surprise is just that the Nuggets aren't kind of unanimously identified as the prohibitive favorites to win it all. As far as hot takes beyond that, that's not, I guess, a super hot take, but I think like the Clippers and the Suns are both in for a little bit of a painful awakening. I'm not sure that either is going to finish with home court advantage in the playoffs, and I wouldn't be surprised if either one or both were actually in the play-in tournament at the rate they're going. Obviously, it's very early on both. For my Knicks, I think we're fine. I took the under. I felt like there was a little bit too much anticipation, too much hype. I think we're a team that will beat bad teams and will be competitive with fine teams and lose to really good teams. And it's I don't think enough's been discussed about just how good the Knicks schedule has been to start the season. The Spurs yesterday were the first team all season that we played that were like clearly not a potential home court possibility in the first round of the playoffs. I think before that, our other wins came against the Clippers, the Hawks, and the Cavs. So all solid teams, no one incredible. Our losses, meanwhile, have come against Boston, New Orleans, who I think that was a bad loss, but Zion kind of went off that night, the Cavs, and I'm blanking on one team. But all's to say, we've had a pretty hard schedule to start the year. I think that there is some merit to what Amin El-Hassan said yesterday around a little bit of civil war going on in the locker room. We've got like the Villanova guys, all of whom feel very secure in their positions and their places in New York long term. And then you kind of have the other group, and that other group, be it Julius Randle or Emmanuel Quickley or RJ Barrett, they've only been hearing their name in trade rumors for 2 years now. And I don't think it was a coincidence that RJ Barrett switched agencies over to WME from CAA, even though Leon Rose, the president of the Knicks, is former head of CAA, and pretty much everyone else on the roster is a CAA client.
Okay, well, we'll see. I know Julius Randle, definitely his stock is not very high right now. There are some questions up here that Mets was asking, which I think we kind of answered though, but I'm being told that I didn't ask these, but I think we answered this one, which is defining success, which is about the controlling the market, the economy. Would you add anything else to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think growth, right? And growth doesn't necessarily have to be in the form of like these unrealistic numbers, but I think continuing to have more collectors coming back month over month rather than churning collectors month over month. And we're starting to see positive tailwinds in that direction. But yeah, I think the best way to grow is going to be a fun collectible product where the economy is trustworthy and engaging. So I would say those are the two criteria I'd look at as kind of the most important. And certainly I think we've planned this season to continue to sprinkle out really fun, exciting things throughout the way, but with predictability being such a paramount part of our plans.
And would you say that that's also the more or less the answer in terms of like past users and how you want them to experience the platform? Because there's also come some questions around like past users and who are still here, who, you know, have kind of seen the ups and downs. Like, what would you say the strategy is to like surprise and delight them as well as the new users?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, the weekly opportunities to get rewarded as a experienced collector is something that we haven't really leaned in as aggressively as we are this season, right? So between the weighted airdrops, the burn leaderboards, the new game mode that will be coming out, there will be really strong reasons to have a rich and deep collection of star players moments and grails. But yeah, I think beyond that, just having fun, right? Every week we'll have drops that we anticipate in terms of how we are kind of modeling out mint counts and how we're kind of planning to do our set design for the season. We anticipate that the packs will be pretty fun. And now that we have the pack marketplace, there will be opportunities to kind of continue that fun beyond just the drop into the challenges that will launch alongside the drop, right? Every challenge for set completions this season will have locking as a major component. And rather than last season where it was lock 6 of 9 to get this reward, it will be lock all of the additions in this drop to get the reward. So more timely, our set reward packages are going to be on a rolling basis rather than we're taking the snapshot 4 months out from now and we'll update you 3 months later when your pack is ready, right? It's all going to feel far more cohesive and tied to kind of the day-to-day enjoyment of being a basketball fan rather than kind of all these trying to follow kind of maybe a roadmap of what, you know, what we said in a blog 6 months ago.
So does that mean the way that people were locking their sets and then like waiting months in the future, that's not going to be happening moving forward? It's going to be like locking it this week, getting your thing next week?
Yeah, I think you saw that maybe last week with rookie debuts, and we put out a deadline to lock your rookie debut set to get a pack for the month. And we're going to continue to do more like that than say how we've done it in the past. But more details will be shared with every kind of drop announcement that we do of which sets you're able to lock to get that pack or a corresponding pack in the near future. But yeah, I think in this world, certainly instant gratification or as close to instant gratification as we can offer is far better than kind of making Top Shot, you know, a part of your day-to-day homework of trying to remember what you're owed, when you're owed it, and how you're owed it.
Yeah. So Green Curry had a question on the rookies. How many postseason moments can a rookie have?
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to the postseason, just transparently. Like, we obviously have ideas of things that we think will be cool and exciting for the postseason, but I'd be lying if I gave an answer today, just because we're going to let the regular season kind of unfold. We're going to continue to gather our learnings, take a much more measured approach this year than try to put ourselves in a spot where we're kind of tying ourselves to what I say on November 9th, knowing we have a long season ahead. But I can assure you, you will have all the clarity in the world of how many moments a rookie can have in the playoffs well before we drop a single playoff rookie. Yeah. We are going to be responsible with those timelines, but we're not going to, in the same merit of being responsible, we're not going to rush to give an answer.
Yeah, that's fair. I personally thought the redemptions were a really interesting thing. Do you guys, does that mean you're still not quite sure if you guys are going to run back redemptions this season?
Yeah, I think from a high level, redemptions is something that I also was a huge fan of and continue to be a huge fan of. I think there's a lot of merit to it. But again, speaking to all the different, and I do apologize for the sirens.
It's okay. I just like pretending that they're after you. And you're fitting in this meeting.
Yeah. No, I think, like, again, if you look at a week in the life of a Top Shot collector this year compared to in years past, like, there will be a consistent day of the week for pack drops. There will be two different offerings, right? There's going to be the guaranteed hit, and then there's going to be the rip that costs less than $10 and gives you a chance of getting something.
Yeah.
There's going to be burn leaderboards for rare and legendaries to get the new rare and legendaries from that same player. You're going to have the opportunity to get airdropped rewards for the moments you've locked on these leaderboard, team and player leaderboards. You're going to have the opportunity to get airdropped for your set completions. You're going to have the opportunity to use trade tickets more weeks than that. So, like, all of those things together, that's already a paradigm shift from how Top Shot has operated in the past, right? There are a lot of different layers to that, and it's incumbent on us to really make that very clear and easy to digest in product rather than having to follow blogs or social. And that will all happen over the course of this season.
That's awesome.
So then to throw redemptions on top of that, you know, I think we, again, being measured is really important. So while we all do agree that redemptions has a lot of merit and could be really exciting, let's kind of walk there rather than run there. And I think, some other questions I did see on your reply about our session today was predicated on, like, what are lessons we've learned from maybe NFL All Day and the start to their season. And I think, like, they had a lot of great intent and there are a lot of really cool things happening on All Day for sure. But one of the things that it was a good reminder of is, like, simplicity is pretty king here. And we kind of have to, again, continue to ease our collectors into new concepts rather than trying to throw a lot at once and hope that it works. So the measured approach and kind of being methodical as we roll out new stuff is going to be very important for us long-term, not just for this season.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea to have that predictability. I mean, it's like what they tell you when you're trying to, you know, create YouTube content, always show up at the same time every week and people, like, know what to expect. I think that's, you can apply that to what you guys are doing. And I think that's great. Why have you not congratulated Poker Pro Eric on finishing his Kings team set? And then also Mets also wants his belly rubbed. Why have you not congratulated Mets on finishing the S1 base set? Can you please congratulate these two special boys?
Congratulations to both of you. Poker Pro Eric, I'm very happy for you. I think that's it's a great accomplishment. I know you're a big Kings fan. I'm excited for you guys this season. I hammered the over there. And Jay, congratulations on the Series 1 base set. That is a long-term goal of mine as well. On a personal note, I have, and you can see my collection, username KGJ24, Ken Griffey Jr. 24. You can see my collection. I have a lot of my focus as a collector on Series 1 Top Shot debuts. So if not in the base set, then MGLE. Those are kind of the two sets that I personally gravitate myself most toward. But yeah, congratulations to both. And to Jeb Bush's point in chat, Tandy, you owe me a few dollars because I'm giving out these cameos for free now.
Yep, $10 coming your way. Jay loves you. So Pohi Piggy Biu is asking about the Nine Lives Lounge. What's your take on the Nine Lives Lounge, Jacob? Is that still a premium place to join for Top Shot collector?
Yeah, I think, like, expectations are obviously going to be a big part of how much fun you're having around that set. Needless to say, it has not lived up to the expectations of many in that community. I think at one point it was touted as the Soho House of Top Shot. I can't pretend like we are kind of going to remain steadfast in making sure that is the very top priority at the expense of everything else we're trying to do on Top Shot. With that being said, I think it's undeniable. If you are in the Nine Lives Lounge and you are a member of that community, there's a lot of great stuff happening there. It's one of the most active communities on Top Shot. There's a lot of positivity. There's a lot of fun events going on. We are going to continue to reward that community with monthly or quarterly stipends to continue to help build community. And then there are a few things we're working on in the background around previous commitments that we've made to really deliver for that community in ways that we haven't for other communities in the past. And of course, like, I think in the NFT space, time moves really fast, and it wasn't too long ago. I think, in fact, it was only like 3 or 4 months ago that we launched the merch storefront for the NLL and offered everyone in that community a $100 gift card. And I think 85% or so took us up on it. So those are non-trivial expenses, especially as we want to remain focused on the top priorities of our community. And that is, again, scarcity, resetting kind of the economy, and kind of helping create a environment that people want to tell their friends about Top Shot again, because we lost that for so long. And partially, I think why we lost that was spending money on things that were more theoretical. We should do this, then this is definitely going to outweigh the negative of, okay, now we have to sell more packs to kind of offset these expenses. So I think it's a little bit of trying to get ourselves in a position where we can keep our priority. I think the line goes, the most important thing is remembering that the most important thing is the most important thing. And in our sense, the most important thing is the economy and making sure the collectability of Top Shot is first and foremost.
Yeah, got it. And we just won't call things Soho houses anymore. Call them something else. But anyway, you know, something that I was actually curious about is that, so when I first actually heard you, Jacob, that's when you were like talking to Usman back in the day. And I was in Brazil at the time. With my elbows were on like a sticky plastic covering on a table listening to you guys talk about NBA Top Shot. But I was curious, like, it's impossible that you could have had the background to like know what was coming in your experience in that, in your position. And I was actually kind of just curious, like, what was that like? Going from something where you create this like idea, it absolutely explodes like beyond what you possibly could have expected. And now you have like tens of thousands of people who are like engaging with you all day long. What is that like for someone who probably, like, most people will never experience that? What was that like?
Yeah. It was definitely a little bit of like a Truman Show simulation theory experience. I mean, for those that don't know, I obviously I'm a huge basketball fan and have worked in sports for a long time. But when I joined the Top Shot team, it was very serendipitous. I think on three fronts. I was planning to go to grad school for something entirely out of sports at the time. I had gotten into grad school, and I had gotten on Top Shot because someone that I used to scout basketball with referred me, because he knew I was involved in community building and sports and other places. So it was all kind of like, he was based in Europe. So it was all kind of like, the fact that he knew about Top Shot at that time was weird. And the first pack I pulled was from Western Conference Finals Series 1. I was not on the team at this point. I was interviewing. And in my first pack ever, I pulled Nikola Jokic's Series 1 Western Conference Finals Rare Serial Number 1.
Wow.
So like one of the best moments you could possibly pull at that time. And that night I listed it in the marketplace for $1,000, not knowing anything about Top Shot really, other than, well, I know Serial Number 1 is going to be valued. And Dottie, shout out to Dottie, he bought it within like 5 minutes. And that, from that second on, I just understood Top Shot immediately. Right. And obviously I used that money to then reinvest and buy a bunch of lace them up packs, and that the rest is history. Right? And I think at that time I joined the team more or less around that same time. So that was in itself, like, what a way to get introduced to Top Shot. Right. And that's why I always, to this day, try to ask and dig a little deeper on like what is the right first way to experience Top Shot? Because I'm convinced that had I not had that unique experience of being able to sell a moment at that much of a price point, I don't think I would have fully understood Top Shot immediately to the degree that I did. And I grew to love it way further, not because of that sale, but because it gave me the great start that I needed to really want to dive deeper into the product. And then from there, I would say, just when Top Shot went viral and how it was going, there were two marketers on the team. It was a very small team. So I was, you know, behind pretty much every tweet, every email. And it was a extremely chaotic time working East Coast, but for West Coast hours. I think from Super Bowl Sunday, the Tom Brady Tampa Bay Super Bowl, from that Super Bowl Sunday through May, I think it was April 29th, to be more exact, I worked seven straight weeks, 7 days a week, no days off. And the days of the week were 9 a.m. to like 2 a.m. every day. And that it was so invigorating to wake up every day at the challenge, the Herculean task ahead. But all of that was crazy. And one of the things that made it even crazier is those days of the week entailed so much more like ridiculous, like Bill Simmons has a term, the Mike Tyson zone, where there was a point in time where in the 90s, Mike Tyson could do anything, or you could tell someone that Mike Tyson did anything and they'd believe it because it got so crazy. And that was very similar for me, where there was a day where I had a Zoom with Logan Paul, followed immediately by CJ McCollum. And it got to the point where I was telling my friends, yeah, me and Barack Obama are about to hop on a call. And they believed me. That's how insane Top Shot got for that point in time. So also say it was a crazy time. It was definitely something that I'll look back on for the rest of my life as like a pinch me. How did that really happen? But of course, like working that hard, and I like to think of myself as an empathetic person, getting a lot of feedback, even when times were good, they weren't always considered good in the community because while maybe account values were going up, people weren't able to withdraw their funds or whatever it may have been, right? There was always a soup du jour of a massive existential problem that we had to solve. So the stress was pretty immense throughout as well.
And like, how did you deal with that? I mean, I don't know. How would like the average person deal with something? It just seems like a Herculean amount, in my opinion. Like, how did you turn your brain off if you were working like 14-hour days? What?
Yeah.
Did you not lose your mind?
No, I think I always was able to keep a pretty level, relatively level head about it, right? But yeah, it was definitely a very eventful time in my life, and one that I'll forever be grateful to have had, but probably won't long to return to just in terms of the immense stress of it all.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds about right. Optical's asking about League Pass. I know League Pass was definitely something that people enjoy, the challenge for League Pass. Is there any thoughts to do something like that again?
Yeah. So I think the way we're looking at League Pass this year is there might be opportunities through, you know, the captains programs or through various different opportunities later in the season as League Pass becomes more affordable. But this one goes back to a little bit of prioritizing as the most important thing to remember is that the most important thing is the most important thing. And all of these things like League Pass, as great as they are, it's hard to point to people saying the only reason I'm around on Top Shot is because they gave me an opportunity to burn two rares for League Pass last year, right? It's a nice thing for us to do, but I think prioritizing, again, the economy is more important, and that's kind of where our focus is.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, well, chat, we're at an hour, so let me hear any other last questions you have for Jacob. I want to see if I have any other fun videos for Jacob. We didn't play the Nine Lives Lounge look-in, which we should play whenever we talk about the Nine Lives Lounge, so we'll play that. Yep, that's the Nine Lives Lounge looking.
I see a question about the license. Okay. It runs through the more or less the end of the decade. So whether it's 2028 or 2020, it's around then. And that's been publicly shared in the past. The exact day and month, I couldn't tell you, not because I don't want to, because I don't know, but around then.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so that's AG's question. Green Curry's asking, any plans for favorite team rewards? I think favorite team rewards. Yeah, you did mention something about this.
This is speaking to, I choose my favorite team and therefore I have added perks of that being my favorite team when it comes to potentially getting rewarded for that team. I think it's a multi-step process right now. One of those steps is the ever important locking of your favorite team to ensure that people cannot just jump from favorite team to favorite team as new perks arise. And of course, there are also the realities of those perks would need to be pretty great to justify someone not just choosing the Spurs as their favorite team this year, given the opportunities to win Wemby stuff. So I think there's no specific kind of structure today of, because I am a Knicks fan, I'm going to be rewarded with more Knicks moments. Though we certainly encourage and have discussed with our captains things along those lines, and I'm sure they are interested. But the ability to lock a favorite team, the ability to have cooldowns on being able to change your favorite team, the ability to choose multiple favorite teams, not just for the folks like me that also identify as Liberty fans and want to be able to show off my Knicks collection and my Liberty collection, but also the fans that maybe are Mavericks fans based in LA, right? So things like that are things that we're absolutely looking for as well.
You know, what you should do is you should just have like a quiz. So you say who your favorite team is, then you have to pass a test. And if you don't pass it, they're not your favorite team. Sorry. So Cam, too generic. He's looking for the full pack marketplace. I mean, I know we're making a lot of advancement there. Is there any kind of date in mind for when he'll be able to sell his base packs?
It's going to continuously roll out to more and more sets and more series. I would anticipate no later than Q1 for every pack in your inventory to be available. It might be sooner than that, but I just want to be conservative in terms of the estimation.
Okay. And Pohibigyu is in Europe and he's not a fixed fan of a specific team. For users like him, there's no real solution to the favorite team. But Pohibigyu, you're just gonna have to choose a team, dude. Just choose one.
And I think that's another, not that we'd over-index on that sentiment, but we do hear that a decent amount, and that's where kind of the weighted airdrops for team and player leaderboards comes so crucial. Pohibigyu, you can kind of pick which players and which teams you want to collect and lock around, and then you'll be rewarded on a weighted basis more likely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that's about it. Jay's asking about Christmas gifts. I think you're probably going to get the important thing answer, Jay. I mean, I don't know, Jacob, is there anything you want to talk about Christmas gifts?
No, I haven't gotten that far, but I know that our VIP program is doing some pretty exciting things around right now for the next couple of weeks. So, no comment on Christmas plans, though. Trying to think if there are any other ones that I saw earlier that I want to make sure we touch on. I mean, there were a lot of great questions. Thanks everyone for joining and asking. And Tandy, awesome job moderating. I would love to join you again up here in a little bit of time so that we can kind of pick back up on any of these questions. It's always good to be able to, set the record straight on some things and kind of clarify anything that might be misunderstood.
Awesome. All right. Well, I don't see any other questions for now, so you'll have to save your questions for the next time that Jacob is back. But Jacob, thank you so much. You know, we're all rooting for a positive series, and you know, the NBA action is as entertaining as ever, and so we hope to carry that same kind of sentiment over on NBA Top Shot.
Absolutely. Well, Tandy, again, thank you for having me, and I could plug something real quick. I'm not sure if it has gone live yet, but monitor Top Shot Social in a little bit, because there will be some more updates coming out very soon, and excited to share those. And get ready because we have some more pretty awesome drops coming.
Okay, we'll give a little Ray Allen yes. All right, well, with that, Jacob, thanks so much, and we'll talk again soon, and take care until the next time.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Take care.
Bye.
Static selector.